Do you know that he's your Redeemer tonight? That was a question. Do you know that he's your Redeemer tonight? Can I get an amen from over there?
Amen.
Amen. Is he your Redeemer? Jeremy, is he your Redeemer? Amen. That's my little nephew. Lord, you're so worthy, so far beyond we can imagine. In fact, guys, if you're willing and you're able and you'd like to tell God thank you, please tell him thank you. Short statements. You're so this. Thank you for that. We'll agree with you. Take 2 minutes. Just loud enough so we can hear you and agree. Doesn't matter what order. Just do it. Thank you, Lord, for setting my feet upon the rock. I was in the muck and the mire for so long, and you pulled me out. I just praise you for your kindness to me, your faithfulness to me. I love you, Lord. As we sing this next song, guys, just try to enter in. I know sometimes it's so hard to come and enter in. But man, that's where we need to be. Entering into his presence. A lot of times during the worship, if you can just enter in, the walls will fall down, the chains will come off. Just be set free while you're singing. Just thinking rightly towards the Lord, reflecting on his goodness. Let him have your heart tonight. Whatever that thing is that's so big that you don't want anyone to know about, you don't think he cares about, just reject that thought. Because he cares for you. He cares for you so much. Whoever you are that needs to hear that tonight, you take that. Tuck that deep into your heart. He has not forgotten you. He's got it all worked out already. And like someone once told me that the Lord had a word for me, they said, that God doesn't expect you to understand his ways because they're higher than yours, but he does require you to trust. And I'll tell you what, that set me free. May you be set free tonight. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. He's worthy, right? There's got to be someone in here that has something they could pray for us for in line with that song, that he's worthy of everything that we are. Maybe someone real loud could just take that step of faith. Maybe you haven't prayed out loud before, and you're like, oh, heck, no, he didn't just say that. If that's your heart that's pumping like really hard right now, and you know it's you, this is your chance to trust God, step out in faith, and pray a quick prayer for us. So go ahead. Try a song we haven't sung together, the three of us, yet, so please have mercy. Yeah, God has mercy. It's a song called Do It Again. You've probably heard it the way it's supposed to sound, but I can't shake it. They made me dump another song earlier already, so I'm not dumping this one. So just, the words are powerful. The reality of the song is powerful. Everything we sing about God that is true, isn't it powerful? Doesn't it break down those walls? Doesn't it set your mind at peace? Doesn't it comfort your heart? Does mine. This is one of those songs. So maybe it's just for me to worship, but it'd be great if you guys worship with us. Amen.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to for you have never failed.
just love saying those things to God. As I sing them, try to think about them. It's Him that's speaking to me, telling me that He knows right where I'm at. Even if I'm not right where I want to be quite yet, definitely not where I was. You're definitely not where you were. Your confidence is He's never failed you yet. He's faithful. Amen.
Standing.
God, we love you. We adore you. We just want to be with you. You know where everyone's at tonight. You know what they need. You know what they're afraid of. But I pray tonight, encouragement would settle their minds. Comfort would enter their heart. In other words, would you pour out your Holy Spirit in such a way that every single person leaves this place tonight built up in their faith, encouraged to go deeper with you, comforted knowing you're with them. There's nothing they have to do to earn your love. You paid for it all. There's one thing that says that without something, it's impossible to please you. It's that word faith. Lord, bless our faith that we might please you. Each of us has a little mustard seed here. Put them all together, we got a bunch of little mustard seeds. Imagine what we could do in Christ with the faith of a mustard seed. You said we'd say to this mountain, be removed, and it would be cast out into the sea. Oh, how we long to believe that, God. We thank you. We love you. Bless our time together now. Help me just to say the things you want me to say, not to ramble on or flap my yapper like my bride tells me I do so often. God bless her. Just want to say the things you want, and that's it. So please bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello. That's God's calling. Wants to let you know it's going to be okay. Okay, before we turn the lights on, we have a little, you guys can sit. Due to the changes in the prison system, we were unable to do the normal things that we do as far as documenting everything. So we have just a little minute and less than 2 minutes video with pictures, just to give you just a little glimpse. So bear with us as we watch it. Facebook can't see it, just you guys can for safety reasons. So should pop up at some point. So that's all you get. So the thing that changed this year was that we used to have four prisons we went to, and then some things happened in the government 2 years ago, and they started this process of shutting down private prisons and wanting to shut those down for safety reasons. They got some bad information that private prisons weren't safe. Turns out the opposite was true. So these prisons that we go to they're private prisons, and there's no American citizens in there. They're all foreigners. So when we go there over a weekend, we share our story, we teach the word, we share the gospel with as much as 40 nations at one time. And so they closed one of the prisons and then condensed it into another prison, and they changed the rules so that we didn't have like the carte blanche status that we had in the past, where we could go through, we could record everything, we could take pictures, we could do whatever. Those things changed. And so my chaplain, that's why we go to Texas, because when I was in California prison, my chaplain, Chaplain Bemis, he ended up moving out here to Texas, and that's how we can get into the prisons through him. However, they changed all the rules, and now we have to go through a bunch of different steps to get in there. So it takes months and months and months of paperwork that goes back and forth and gets lost and say they never got it, all the way up to right before we go, we don't know if we're going to actually get in or not. So it's kind of nerve-wracking, but April's always hoping that we won't get in, so she doesn't have to talk. You know, she's the only girl in there, right? It's a male prison. She goes in there and shares her story, and she doesn't do it because she enjoys it, I promise you that. She goes there because, well, I make her. Anyway, before I get into Texas, I just want to share something from Jehoshaphat, which is in 2 Chronicles 20. So you guys can turn there if you'd like. So a question I asked this time, every time we go, I share something different, a different text, different parts of my story. April shares her testimony. And so to set the stage with these guys, you heard that translator. So you can only say a couple words, then you got to wait. You know, if you say the word the, it's like 15 words to translate to the. At least it seems that way when you don't speak the language. The reason it's in Spanish, you wonder why there's 40 different nations represented. How could all 40 different nations understand Spanish? Well, the process to get to America often goes through Mexico. So there we have guys in there from Colombia, from South Korea, from India, from Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Argentina. I couldn't name them all, but there's a lot. And so they begin the process, some just trying to get to America, because America's the dream, right? Get to America, make a better life for your family. But sometimes on the way, say you're from, like for instance, we had a guy from Germany, red hair, blue eyes, speaking Spanish. Because it took him 13 years to get through Mexico to get to America. And then by the time he got here, he didn't just cross the border, ended up getting involved with some folks and committed a crime and had to go to prison. So the beauty of them coming to prison, though, is that we get to go to them, tell them that Jesus loves them. They do their time in America, and then at some point, they get to go home. Last year, you guys purchased 11 cases of Spanish study Bibles. And so these men get to have one of those Bibles when they go through the two-year discipleship course. They have to first read the Bible all the way through before they can go to the discipleship class. Then they got to do 2 years discipleship class, and then they get that Bible that we put on the bookshelf as a paperweight. They get that as their treasure, as their reward to take home to their family. And it's the biggest deal ever. You guys might think, oh, I gave $5 or I gave $100 or whatever. Or you prayed, if you couldn't even give, you prayed that these Bibles would make their way. They make their way, and they go all over the world. And these people value that Bible like we value our lives. That's how sacred it is to them. So thank you for the Bibles you provided. They're blessed. And, you know, it's like I used to tell the junior hires, the Bible in today's money, I did a study on it one time. It's the only reason I know. I looked it up. Anybody can. It talked about when the printing press, before the printing press was available and printed Bibles, to own your own Bible costed, in today's money, would cost somewhere an amount of $50,000 in our money. So they used to cherish the scripture. These men cherish the scriptures. They are super thankful to have them. So I want to make sure I mention that. So we get there, and I ask them, and I'll ask you, and give the honest answer, somebody, please, for the love of God. What do you do when you're afraid? Not what the right answer is, not the Christian answer, but what do we normally do when we're afraid? Someone?
Run away.
What?
Run away.
Run away. Thank you for being honest. Amen. We run away. We should pray, of course. And we all know the story of Jehoshaphat, how he seeks the Lord. But I'll tell you what. I can tell you guys not to run and to pray. Like, yeah, okay, we know that. That's cool. Tell these guys that. Hey, guess what? You can stop running away from God and your problems, and you can run to him. How do you do that? Like this. And they melt. They cannot believe it's that easy to just turn to the Lord. A lot of these guys have been raised in church. Kind of a wacky church. But they've been to church. They've had people in their lives that told them there was a God. They put all these rules on them, and they just never felt good enough. They never measured up. I'm not saying that's everyone's story, but that's a lot of their story. When they hear the grace of God, like when you heard the first time, the grace of God, when you found out that you were loved by God, even though you were a miserable wretch, and your eyes of your heart were opened, light filled your heart, the Holy Spirit came to reside inside you, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Anyone ever felt like that when they got saved? Anyone ever felt like that when they were sinning against God as a Christian and they just couldn't believe they could sin like that and then God forgave them? No one's going to be honest over here? Nobody. All right, how about over here? All right, we got two of us. Amen. You guys are a tough crowd tonight. When we share these things, when we share there's a God in heaven who loves these men, who've committed unspeakable acts. There's murderers there. There's cartel members. There's, I can't say the names of the gangs, but they're always on the news. Those people are there. One of the prisons they shut down, in fact, was just for the cartels, for the serious bloodthirsty gangs. And they couldn't be on the yard of the other prisons because of their gang affiliations. And so they had to keep them in a separate prison. Well, that prison had to close, and now they're all moved in to the others. So now they're all together. So I say that to say, when you go to share, we're on the other prison yard. They could hear you from a distance. Some guys had the courage to come. Most guys sat on the bleachers or they were out on the yard. When I say the yard, it's like a picture of football field, the track around it, kind of like that, like Warrenton grade school, like that kind of a thing. That's the yard in prison, just a dirt circle you just walk around on. They will be out there walking, running, exercising, but listening. We've had guys get saved off another yard before. We've come back years later and had a guy give a testimony that he was in a cell, but he couldn't come to the service because they wouldn't let him out, but he could hear my voice. He could hear April's story. He could hear the worship, and God met him right where he was. He didn't even have to come to the service. Tons and tons of testimonies of God changing guys' lives. And for me personally, I am one of those guys, and that's why I feel right at home there. And when we have to leave, they literally have to pull me out of there. Because as my brother Jeff would say, there's nothing like good felonyship, right? Felonyship. These guys are my family. They're not like my natural blood family, right? But they're my spiritual blood family, the blood of Jesus, right? We're all knit together. And you guys are all part of that. All the souls that get saved every time we go, they go home and they tell their family, and they tell their family. So from Olney, across from the old saloon, you guys are reaching about 40 nations every year. Whether you prayed, whether you gave, whatever, you're all part of that. So you'll have rewards in heaven for that that you didn't even know of when you get there. You have a nice little treasure chest just waiting for you up there. Amen? No? Not an amen? Okay. I'm excited about it, but not you, apparently. Okay. So we got the answer. What do you do when you're scared? You run. You run. We're going to learn or be reminded of for the millionth time what to do instead of running. We run because we don't trust God. It's just the human nature is just to run. Things are hard, run. Things get tough, run away, hide. Goes back to the garden, right? Adam and Eve. They sinned against God, and they tried to hide themselves, tried to run away. Clearly, you can't hide from God. Neither can you, neither can I. So Jehoshaphat, I'm going to read through this. Chapter 20, verse 1. It came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Munites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and reported to him, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea of out of Aram. And behold, they're in Hazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi." There's a war coming. First thing to do is not to run. The natural thing, the natural man wants to run. But Jehoshaphat, in this situation, at least, you know the end of the story of this chapter. We aren't going to get there tonight, but he chose to hear this information and admit that he's scared. We'll read it here in a second. He is afraid. But instead of running away from God, we're going to see that he just runs to his knees. And I'll tell you what, when you're telling gang members and murderers and rapists and child molesters that God loves them in spite of their depravity, that he doesn't want to send them to hell, even though us in our flesh, we have different degrees of sin, so we judge people based on what they how they've sinned. There's different consequences for sin, of course. You have to pay for the consequences according to the law of the land. But God forgives anyone who will humble themselves and call upon his name. I was gutter trash. I am gutter trash apart from the Lord. I shouldn't even be standing here talking to you because of my sin. But God's grace, his grace is so amazing, just like the old hymn. You can sing that song forever and ever and never get tired of it. Amen? So what's he do? He hears the bad news. The enemy's coming to your door. Run! Nope. Says Jehoshaphat, verse 3, was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah so that Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. He was afraid and he turned and he set his face to seek the Lord through fasting and prayer. It's great when the leader does that. The king does it. Rather than try to be prideful and figure it out, he just humbles himself. God's opposed to the proud, gives grace to the humble, right? All the cities of Judah joined him. Another verse that I've tried to cram in to the kids' head over the years, and even my own head, is Proverbs 18:10. And it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous can run to and be safe." Anyone ever experienced that? Remember David, he could choose what consequence, right? Man, I'd rather just run to the arms of God. He's merciful. Let his judgment will be right. He won't kill me. Amen? The king humbles himself in the sight of God and man. It's as a man, and especially talking to inmates, in prison you have to fight. You have to prove yourself. You have to stand your ground. You will be tested. Because if you show weakness, you become prey for the predators. And there are some serious roaring
earthly lions in there. Now, we know the scriptures that say Satan is a roaring lion, but he's got dentures. He's been, he can't hurt you, right? He can only do what God lets him do. He's fangless. He's a toothless lion. He's got a real loud growl, and he can prowl around, and he can scare you and cause you to want to run, turn your back on God, and do what's easy. But these men in prison, they have to stand their ground. Otherwise, they will be literally devoured. You don't have to answer this out loud, but answer this in your heart. What do you do when you hear bad news? What do you do when the war is coming? There's a multitude coming to your door. An army is coming to take your life. Fill in the blank. Make that personal in any way that you can. I know our knee-jerk is to run, but when I read these words, seek help from the Lord, just blesses me. We don't have to know anything. We're going to see. He's going to say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's the best prayer we can pray. Admit it to God. We have no clue what to do, but my eyes are on you, Lord. Just show me the way. And leave it at the cross and go forth. Amen? Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? Are you not a ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? They have lived in it. They've built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house. And we'll cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they're rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance? O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. He was afraid. He turned to set his face to seek the Lord. He remembered who God was, who he is. I didn't recognize where I had learned this before, but apparently it was from this chapter. I've kind of made it personal for my own life. This is a great model prayer to set your mind and heart right to talk to the Lord. What do I mean by that? Who's God? This is what I ask myself when I'm off the rails and I can't find my way home. Who is God? He's the creator of the universe. What's he done? He sent his son to die on the cross for me. Well, I'm an only child, really selfish, self-centered. Well, what's he done for me lately? What's he doing for me right now? He's begun a good work in me. What's he going to do in the future? He's going to finish the work that he started. He starts it. He finishes it. How can he do that? Because he's the creator. He can start a work in you, and he can finish that work in you. He'll be working on you and working on me until we see him face to face, and then it'll be completed. What he did in the past, what he'd do in the future, that's what he remembered about God. Oh, that we as a body, as a nation, would do that. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We have a great picture of this happening right here in this chapter. And it goes on, verse 14. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, however you say that, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the sons of Asaph, and he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you." Now maybe you're sitting here tonight and you need to hear God say to you, "Thus says the Lord to you." What's he saying to you? "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." This theme has come up here for what? Like a month and a half now? Chris was teaching it here. Ed taught us at a conference. He came here and shared it with us. It just keeps coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. When he says don't fear in here, he says it a couple times. When God says something once, we should listen, right? We should do what he says one time. If he says it twice or three times or 10 times, he's really trying to drive a point. He really wants us to understand something. What's he want us to understand? Do not fear. The battle is not yours. It's God's. Telling these inmates the battle's not theirs, when they're sharpening their shanks, a shank is a slang term for knife. You see, inmates can make anything into a blade. They can take newspaper and they can roll it a certain way and put shellac on it. Yes, shellac. And they can form that thing into a spear that's hard enough, strong enough, and sharp enough to pass right through your chest and out your back. Just like that. And the handle will break off once it stops, and they flush it down the toilet. No evidence. Telling them they don't have to fight doesn't make any sense. Teaching them to pray instead of fight, teaching them to just seek the Lord, they're not having it quite yet. But they're learning. We're learning. Prayer's not just talking to God, it's listening. We have to be quiet to hear him. Life's super noisy. A lot of stuff happening. Some in our control, some out of our control. We have so many things begging for our attention. And we often, I'm speaking to myself, give in to it way too much. We know we should read. We know we should pray. We know we should get to church or the prayer meeting on Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. But it's like, my show's on that night. I have to pick my nose that night. I really don't want to give that up because it just means so much to me, especially in the car. The devil will use anything to distract us. God just wants us to be quiet and listen. He gave us his word. We could be Pharisees about it. We can memorize it. We can be like the guys in Hebrews that had the same gospel preached but never transformed because it wasn't activated by faith. These guys in the prisons were just like me. I sat through thousands of those Bible studies. I went up to the altar. I'm being facetious, not thousands, but a lot. I went up to the altar a lot. I prayed the prayer a lot. I wanted to be good for God. I wanted to pay back God. I wanted him to notice me. Jeff and I do the jail on Tuesday night, and one of the things he shares with the guys there, and they love this because there's a camera inside the room where we're doing our Bible studies on Tuesday at the jail. And as a former inmate, he said one of the things he loved about Bible study before he was actually really tuned into the Lord was that he was hoping the judge might be watching that video so he could see that he was doing good and give him leniency on his court case. Isn't that how we are? Oh, Lord, if I do this, will you do that? If I go to church, if I serve, if I'm good enough, will you like give me a little boost? You know, maybe get me out of jail. Maybe, you know, give me a bunch of money and get me out of jail. You name it. But these guys, they don't understand what we're saying. All they know, see, let me back up. We know some form of struggle. Each one of us has a battle we've either faced, we're facing, or we're going to face. But we're all here in America, and I don't by any means limit or limit the weight of your battle and the pain that you've gone through. But we don't have to travel through Mexico for 13 years trying to get here. Imagine being from India or Germany or South Korea trying to get to Mexico to get here. Led to believe if you just get here, you'll have the perfect life. And then you get here and you've got handcuffs on. You found yourself in a situation that you can't get out of, and now you're going to prison. He says, don't fear. Don't fear because of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, but God's. Don't look at them through the eyes of man, but see them through the eyes of God. The battle is God's. You don't have to worry. He's got it. It's already been won. But we still need to show up for the battle. He says in verse 16 that tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they'll come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight this battle, but station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. There's a story in 2 Kings that one day when I was on the yard walking in Tehachapi State Prison in Southern California. And I was hanging out with this guy, Sam. Sam was black, I'm clearly white. And in the prison system, you're not allowed to hang out with other races. You have to stick with your race. It's forbidden, even death. I'm a Christian, Sam's a Christian. He's trying to teach me how to read the Bible, and we're walking the yard, and I can feel the tension. What I mean by that is, once your race sees you behaving improperly, the next step is to grab that shank and kind of run it through your neck, hit your jugular vein quick, get as many holes, as many slashes as they can in you so you bleed out right there on the yard. And I could sense that was happening. Why? Because I've been in and out of jail for years, in and out of prison. Wasn't my first rodeo. And I told Sam, we got to stop talking. We got to stop hanging out. I got to get off the yard because I'm probably going to die. He's like, why? I said, homeboys are over there. They're gearing up to take me out, dude. I know you can feel it. I can feel it. It's coming. And he taught me about this little passage in 2 Kings 6 through 15. It says, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Sam's like, dude, don't be a wuss. God is for you. He's not against you. You've got angels protecting you. And guess what? If God gave them permission to take you out, then praise the Lord, you'll be with him today. Kind of like that thief on the cross. Today you'll be with him in paradise. It's a win-win situation. That little moment on the yard changed my life as a believer to stop being fearful, at least in that context, standing for my faith. Not because I was strong. I was a white boy walking with the big old black dude who could probably fight and kill all the guys that were coming to kill us just by himself. So he didn't have nothing to worry about. I was a dope fiend, man. I just came off the streets, sucked up, looked like a zombie. And he said, you don't have to fear, man. God loves you. And Sam was my friend. Sam's the one that taught me how to read the Bible. That dude kept pouring into my life. Do you have someone that pours into your life trying to convince you that God is good and he has a plan for you? God put that person in your life to do that for you. Don't waste it. I haven't ever seen Sam again, but I'm going to see him in heaven. And I'm going to give him a big old holy hug and kiss, I promise you that. He has no idea the impact he had on my life. As time went on, and prison time went on, I had many more opportunities to stand for my faith. I literally took on the whole prison I was in. I'm not saying that's wise, I'm saying that's foolish. But God had more work to do in me. I had another friend who was black. His name was Tony. And we took a picture together on the yard. So basically they have these old Polaroid cameras and you could pay $1 out of if you have money on your books, you can have a picture taken. And usually it's the gang shots, you know, all the gang signs and all the fellas hooked up or whatever. We just took a picture to remember each other because we were friends. You know, we made friends in prison. We just want to remember each other. There goes the white boys walking by, seeing me take a picture. You're dead, dude. And they were sharpening the shanks. There was no doubt about it. They were ready to take me out. I went to the head. They call it the shot caller. Every race has a shot caller who calls the shots for their race. And I went to him and I said, hey, man, I know you know what's up. I know you guys are trying to take me out. And I'm not going to tell you not to. I need you to know that God's changed my life. I'm not afraid of you. I'm shaking inside. You better believe it. I'm probably going to go to the bathroom in my pants as I'm saying this. But I'm taking a stand for the Lord. I don't serve you. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm not going to bow down to your rules. So if you guys need to take me out, take me out. I already know where I'm going, man. And I said, but you know what? If you're going to do it, send people one by one. Don't send a big posse after me. Send them one by one, and I'll be waiting in my cell. So I went back to my cell and just cried out to God, what have I done? That was the stupidest thing I could ever do. But I did what Jehoshaphat did. Lord, I am powerless, and I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I'm taking a stand for you, Lord. Whatever may come, I'm taking a stand for you. Now, I didn't sleep. I couldn't eat, couldn't drink, up all night, just waiting for them to come. And you know, maybe God was up there laughing, like, that was stupid. But I appreciate it. That was cool. I'm not going to let him kill you tonight. I got a plan for your life. It's not over yet. Have you faced a situation where you thought it was the end, and miraculously you came through it? Because God's not finished with you yet? Don't waste it. God heard their cry, and he gave them a promise through the prophet to go down and face them, and he'd be with them. Now they had to choose to believe him by faith that he would fight for them, that they would see his salvation. Again, what battle are you facing tonight, and are you willing to listen, believe, and walk in faith in it and stand upon it? Because if God is for you, and he is, who could be against you? Greater is he who is in you than he who is against you. Amen? Almost done. Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord of God of Israel with a very loud voice. What was their response to God's promise? Jehoshaphat, Judah, Jerusalem? They bowed and they worshiped God. The Levites, they stood and they praised God loudly. Doesn't make a lot of sense. There's a battle coming. Go down there, pray, and sing. When I'm trying to lead us in worship often, it's a super big battle up there. You're trying to play the right note. You're trying to sing in the right key. You're trying to worship and trying to hear God's voice. And you want to let room for the Holy Spirit to move. Worship is so important. And it's not just singing, and I don't mean it's just singing. I mean, everything we do for the Lord with the right heart is worship toward him. Amen. He's given each and every one of us a gift. The gifts are different. Not everyone has everything, but everyone has something. And only you can do what God's made you to do. Only you can give that message to someone who needs to hear it. Only you can have that work ethic that someone needs to see. Only you can run your business like a man of God. Only you can raise your kids in the way of the Lord. Only you can love your husband by fully submitting to his authority as he submits to Christ. Only you can lay your life down for your wife as Jesus laid down his life for the church. Every one of us is special to God. We might look in the mirror and go, huh, that sucks. God doesn't see you that way. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves you so much he died on the cross for you. He would say, how dare you look in the mirror and say this sucks? Verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God. And he might help you. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and maybe he'll show up for you. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. That's what it says. You and I can put our trust in the Lord God and be established. That should encourage your heart. That should rock your world. That should wake you up from your little nappy nap you're taking right now. Just kidding. Just messing with you. So he says, put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising the Lord, set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah so that they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods and garments and valuable things that they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. They rose up early. They took a step of faith. They put their trust in the Lord. They went ahead of the army singing and praising and thanking God for his loving kindness. God fought for them. He destroyed the enemy. God provided all their needs from the army of dead corpses, more than enough. That's how our God fights battles. He says, you don't have to fight this battle. You can't fight this battle. It is impossible. Even if you think you can fight the battle, you're wrong. I'm wrong. It's like the old hymn, in heavenly armor, we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. I'm going to make a metal song out of that, I think. Yep. Verse 26, wrapping it up. Then on the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Baraka. They blessed the Lord. Therefore, they have named that place the Valley of Baraka, however you say that, probably saying it wrong, until today. Every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned with Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the dread of God was on all the kingdoms of the lands. When they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, so the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest on all sides. Once again, what did they do? They praised his name in worship. God gave them peace and rest. Don't we all want peace and rest? God, he's for you. God, he's not against you. God, he proved this by sending his son for you. Jesus, he paid a debt he didn't know because we owed a debt we could never pay. Hebrews 4, 12 through 16 says this, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. There's no creature hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, that's right, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that fantastic? When we hear God's promises to us, when we read about his word being living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, something should be going on inside us. Man, I want to know. I want to read God's word like that. I want to hunger for God's word like that. I want to know God like that. Is he really for me? Word says so. Do I have to fight this battle? No. How do I know? Word says so. Why do we focus on the word of God? We need to know what it says. We need to know what he says to his people so we know what to do. Because guess what? We're powerless and we don't know what to do. But we can all say collectively together as one church, but our eyes are on you. Oh, that we would seek the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? So I shared that with these guys, which you guys have heard this. You already know this chapter. You're Bible students. You guys have been walking with God longer than me. You've heard these things. You know these things. When I shared with these guys, and when April, and you guys know April, she's very soft-spoken. She shared her testimony here last year. It's brutal to share pain and sorrow and suffering. It's brutal to be the only female in front of thousands of guys bearing your soul before them. And you think no one cares because the enemy is whispering in your ear, what you have to say doesn't matter. I'm here, my wife is here to tell you, it doesn't matter how you speak. What I mean by that is, you don't need to be a dynamic preacher, a dynamic speaker. You just have to be you. The power is not in you. The power is in the Word. It's also in your testimony. Because what's the testimony tell us? God's goodness. If you have a stronghold in your life, you need to share your testimony. How do they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We hear testimonies, we hear stuff all the time. When we show up in these prisons, these guys have been waiting for months for us to go. Some guys, years. They know we're coming the next year, Lord willing, and they're waiting. My testimony has been printed in different languages, and it's sent out hundreds of copies at a time through all the prisons. April's story is in there, how we met. They've already read it. They already know what's going on before we get there, and they can't wait for us to come back, even though we're going to tell them probably the same thing. They've heard us, you know, however many times. Some guys, we've been going there for, I think it's our fifth year. Is this 5 years? So for 5 years, some people there have heard us say the same things over and over and over. And they knew the first time we went that we weren't great speakers, that we didn't have any fabulous gifts, you know, we weren't anybody. But when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you just open your mouth and do what God says. And men flock to the altar, broken, eyes full of tears, noses dripping with snot. When you tell them there's a God who loves them, who forgives them, they're broken. When we do altar calls at church, you know, we have, you know, one or two people maybe come up. You do an altar call there, there's no room. Some guys, of course, are coming up for the millionth time, still getting saved all over again. I don't mean that. I don't mean just to come up and get saved. I mean to come up for prayer. Because they realize they're broken, they're powerless, they don't know what to do. The first prison we went to, we had guys from previous years who were, they were totally stoked to see us. When they saw April, they were reminded that she shared her story there. And when she shared her story this time, the other chaplain that was there, after she got done, told her, it was dead silent when you shared your testimony. When you shared, when you asked those guys, were there any fathers in here? Do any of you have daughters? All the hand, almost every hand was up. Because she was abused by a man. And these guys were abusers and been abused. And here's this beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman shaking because she's so scared, but being open, like the Hebrews thing said, open. We're open and laid bare before the Lord. This is what happened to me. This is how God dealt with it. This is how God healed me and is healing me. This is how he delivered me, and he's delivering me. Broken. They flock to the front at the end. I look them in the eyes as we're all on our knees. God loves you. And whatever it is that you've done, he forgives you. And they can't believe what they're hearing, because for the first time, God's grace is just washing over them. In snot and tears. The response was great. Many came forward. We got to pray with a bunch of guys. A lot of guys were going home. The second place, the next morning, the weather was bad. It was raining. Everything was flooded, so we didn't get to go outside. We had to have service inside. So we could only get, 54 people inside the little room. So That was a bummer because that was the place where usually we're out in the, what do you call it? The pavilion. And the way they have it, it's like a triangle shape like that. And so we're right here, and all the cells are all around each side. And it's fantastic. But the Lord didn't allow us to do that this time. It was different. This guy Octavio was there from years before, and man, he just has these big eyes and this big smile when you walk in. He's just like, hi, 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 you guys are here. We couldn't wait for you guys to get here. Hi. And he's just a worshiper. He just loves the Lord. So glad to see us. And that poor guy's heard our story like at least 5 times. Still excited, still thrilled, still ready, waiting to receive what God has. Got to pray with a bunch of guys that came forward there. Again, looking broken men into the eyes and saying your sins are forgiven. Man, it rocks their world. It's not the same here because we don't, but you don't have to convince guys in prison that they're sinners. They're wearing the clothes to prove it. At the jail, I tell the guys, because the jumpsuits have stripes on them at the jail here in town, and they're always complaining about these ugly jumpsuits. And I say, you know what? Every time you put that jumpsuit on, I want you to remember this. By his stripes, you're healed. Every time you put that jumpsuit on that you think is ugly, remember that Jesus Christ paid for your sin. His flesh was ripped off his body so you would never have to taste death. You can be forgiven. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Third prison was Flightline. That's the biggest one. That's where you saw the video from. Get there, we're there early, everything's great, and guess what? There's no power. Everything's soaking wet. There's no power. You can't get extension cords there over 25 feet because the inmates will use them to try to get over the fence and escape or hang themselves. So you have to connect floor buffers, if you know what a buffer is, if you ever buffed a floor. We hook those together with 25 feet extension cords in a row to get them from the closest power plug that's locked up inside another room to get power to the yard. So it's quite an ordeal, but during that time, because we couldn't get started, we had like an hour before we could get started. We got to have the one-on-one, like just the treasure. We got to talk to guys personally, have someone translate for us so we can understand what was going on in their lives. We got to pray with people. We got to hear their stories. This one guy, Sam, he's from South Korea. He's going home soon. He's been there since he was 23. He's 33 now, and he's going home. And he is just an amazing, amazing young man. But can you imagine going into prison at 23 and coming out at 33? Pretty dang brutal. And you know what he said? This is what he said. He's going home soon. But he remembered April's story from last year. When she shared her story, it moved him in such a way that this time he said, hey, where can I find an April like you have? Do I need to go to a camera store too? I said, no, can't find an April like her. She's it. They don't make them like her anymore. A lot of guys came forward. One guy had a dream about 2 Chronicles 20. And I was debating. I had like 5 different sermons prepared to share, and I was just, the battle is just so real and trying to figure out what to do. Anyway, I ended on 2 Chronicles, and afterwards he came up and he said that he had a dream because he was facing a situation with his family. He didn't go into the details, but it was a major, major situation that he was trying to figure out what to do. and he had a dream about this chapter. He'd never read it before, but he had a dream about it. And then I taught on it, and then he read it for himself as we were going through the Word together. And he was absolutely transformed. His heart was encouraged. God spoke to him in a dream that he didn't have to fight this battle, that he was going to fight it for him. And we might think, oh, that's cool, big deal. It was a big deal for this guy, a real big deal. Like, we read those books out there killing Christians when the Muslims have dreams. They say, go to this house, someone's going to tell you about me. They tell the guy that lives at the house, someone's coming to your door. When they knock on the door, open the door and tell them about me. That stuff really happens. It's absolutely amazing to see a life change. Someone that hears from God and acts on it. It's just amazing. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the Bibles you've provided. Thank you for your love and grace and support for these men. I tell them about you. We tell them about you. That you don't know them personally, but you pray for them. They're super blessed to have folks praying for them. And you know what? Being locked up for them is probably a billion times better than being where they actually are from. Because when their time comes to get out, they have to go back to that. And they have to choose. Some guys, their whole family's been here their whole life. They don't even know the language of their country because they haven't been there in so long. They came here young. And they got wrapped up in foolishness. And they spent decades going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And now they're faced at the crossroads. Do I trust God and go back and obey the law and not try to get back to America? Or do I try to do it my own way? Like in Jehoshaphat's story here, if it just ended right there, God gave him rest and peace. That'd be so sweet. But if you go to read on, they got stuck on stupid again. Didn't tear down the high places. Made some crazy alliances. We have to constantly choose to look to the Lord. If you got through one thing, I promise you there's a million other things waiting. Like I tell these guys, sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it always costs you more than you want to pay. But do not fear. You don't have to fight this battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. I've kept you super long. Thank you for your grace. We'll go ahead and pray. And we're going to sing another song, but if you need to go, feel free to go. The lights will be off. We're just going to worship for a little bit. You're free to go and be blessed and have a great night. If you choose to stay, we're just going to sing a song and just try to have a moment to respond to the Lord. So if you need to respond to the Lord, if you want to come up to the altar, if you want to come up and get prayer, if you want to get on your knees, if you want to, this is the time for you, if you choose to respond to God. Whether you need to be saved, whether you just need comfort, whether you need to be reminded of something, or you just want to say, you know what, I don't feel any of those things, but by faith, I'm just going to come up. I'm going to do business with God because I know he loves me and I'm here and I just want to be with him, whatever it may be. Amen? Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace. We love you with all our heart. We want to be with you. Lord, I know it's not like the prison. We're not in prison. Physically, but we very well can be emotionally, spiritually. And God, we just, like every time we have a Bible study, every time we come together as a body of believers, we want to not just run out. It's easy just to scoot out the back, it's over. He's gone long again. We just want to go home and go to bed. Kids are tired. But Lord, if there's someone you want to meet tonight, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that their heart would be pounding right now, knowing that you want to speak to them, that you want to set them free. You want to remind them that they don't have to fight this battle. They don't have to fear. They don't have to be dismayed. They can simply stand and see the salvation of the Lord. So, Lord, just for whatever that's for, you would touch them with that and not allow them to escape without being with you tonight. May you just minister to us as we need it. And I pray you give each of us the faith, Lord, to step into your presence and not pretend like we don't need you. For we are powerless and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. In that mighty name of Jesus, amen. If that's you,